At LASIK Plus, we know LASIK is a big decision, and every one of our patients is unique. That's why we customize your LASIK journey to you.
I only have a certain budget.
No problem. Right now at LASIK Plus, get 20% off LASIK when treated in April. That can be over $900 off when treating both eyes, plus guaranteed financing options. So visit MyLASIKOffer.com today to start your journey towards 20/20 vision.
Must mention this promotion to be treated in April of 2024 to qualify. 20% off standard price of Wavelight procedure. Cannot be combined with any other offers. Go to MyLASIKOffer.com for details.
Meet Bob.
Hey, Bob.
He's a four-time tire rotation champion. When he was a baby, his first words were, automatic transmission fluid. Bob's so cool, he has engine coolant running through his veins. And then there's Kyle, also known as Premium Unleaded. Legend has it that Kyle can change your oil with his toes, and that he can tell your tire's air pressure just by how you're walking. He's Bob, he's Kyle, and every Saturday morning they morph together to form the greatest superhero known to man, Mr. Mechanic. Check engine lights don't stand a chance. This is the Mr. Mechanic Show on 1110 KFAB.
Great Saturday morning to you. This is a Mr. Mechanic Show. 558-1110 is the numbers to get in. This is a Mr. Mechanic Show, where you're an interactive call-in show, where you have the questions. We'll help you out with the answers, top two couple of answers to get you kind of back to the repair garage and get you going with that repair, you know. It's going to be a little sunshiny today, maybe a little windy. I don't know if you want to work outside all that much, but, you know, you got to do what you want to do in order to get up and get that car rolling. I found something interesting. I always try to find something interesting for the show, and here's down in Arizona. This guy needed a ride at a Lowe's, so he needed a ride to get where he was going down the road.
Okay.
So he asked the guy if I could get a ride from a truck driver. Truck driver was hauling cars. It was all covered, so he really couldn't tell what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But once I'm sure they got talking, he realizes he's carrying a truckload full of Corvettes.
Okay.
So this guy decides he needs that.
So he takes the whole truck of Corvettes?
He kicks the guy out, and he didn't get very far.
Oh, no.
Before he got pulled over, and now he's on heading to jail. Isn't that interesting?
You know.
I mean, you could pick up a driver, and you don't know what the cargo is and back, but when you can see the car.
I can just picture this happening on the stupidest criminals thing. You know, you steal a semi-truck, and you sit there and kill it 10, 15. Well, who knew it was a stick?
and so many of those, you know, like...
see this happening.
Yeah. I mean, there's a theft deterrent. A lot of people kind of bring that up. You know, I got a stick shift. Can you drive one of those? Well... Yeah, I thought everybody could drive a stick shift.
I'm from olden times.
Yeah, I'm from olden times.
I was there 3,000 years ago.
Well, it turns out there's a lot of people can't drive a stick shift, so it's pretty much, I just leave my doors unlocked. Ain't nobody going to steal this. Keys are in it.
Well, anymore, it's special order. I mean, who makes a standard car anymore?
Yeah, we got into an older Jaguar the other day. I think it was an X-Type, and it was a stick shift. It was a 5-speed.
Was that like the Ford Taurus-based ones?
Yep.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yep. Been in a lot of those cars over the years, and they were all automatics. And it's like
I wouldn't expect it in a Jaguar. I mean, a luxury vehicle should be an automatic.
Yeah, I'm looking for the gear shift. And I'm thinking, well, there's numbers on it. Oh, this is a stick shift. Really?
Never done algebra before.
No, well,
I need the numbers.
It took me a second. You know, and there's some cars out there too, because we're in so many different cars. You know, a day that Lincoln and some of GMC put their push button, you know, park neutral, reverse drive, everything on the dash.
Yeah.
And in Lincoln's, it blends right into the instrument cluster. And once you're in the car and you know it and you can see where it is, it's real simple. But if you jump in a car that you haven't been in there, bring it in for, you know, do some service on it, it's like, where are the buttons?
Yeah.
And you sit there and stare at it for a while, and then it's just like it's hidden right on the right-hand side. So,
and that's one thing, and I've brought this up to many different people, because, I mean, you and I, we're in 40 to 60 different cars a week, easy, easy. Every one of them's different. I mean, we got to get in and figure out how the car is supposed to work before we can – I mean, it's not easy anymore. I mean, you don't got the lever on the floor and,
yep.
You know, I mean, all the dials, I mean – It used to be you had three knobs for the heater at most. I mean, to work a heater in a, I mean, if we got a digital display involved, we got to you know, enter an app, we got to figure this out.
Yeah, there are some cars out there that got two knobs and eight buttons, literally eight buttons, and to figure out where you want to go and if you want to go up, down, here, there, wherever. Yeah, it is kind of. And the ones that are really kind of interesting that really kind of take your eyes off the road is the heating and air conditioning and the radio that are in.
Jeep is bad. I mean, I have a 2021 Jeep, and I mean, I have to physically stop and figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, to get the heated seat to turn off.
It's in a display, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, it's all in the display. So you really got to take your eyes off the road to go over to the display, like a Tesla. Everything in a Tesla. And it's pretty cool. I like the screen that's on there, but you really have to take your eyes off the road to see what you're doing in order to go over there and say, I want that or I want that. And we've complained about this before, and I think customers have also complained about it. They would just like to reach over.
Grab a knob and turn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah, or you want to grab the radio and press one button and mute it instead of having to go over to an app because you're always listening to your music. They should have a big...
And a lot of that stuff, I mean, like when we got this Jeep, I mean, my wife's going through it, and you got to link your phone to it and all this. And that. I'm not computer savvy. I mean, that might come as a shock to some people. I can make a machine work. I know that. Computer? Yeah, not so much.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and speaking of that a little bit, I noticed there were some other stats here. We're getting better in driving. We are down on this on a sad note, but we're down in deaths this year in 23.
Are we talking about the state or the whole country?
No, whole country. We're down overall. About a 4% drop compared to where we were, you know, in 22.
Mm-hmm.
And right out of pandemic, it just seems like everybody lost their ability to drive.
And, yeah, there was a little bit of a learning curve coming back into it.
I don't know. I suppose it's like anything else. You sit home all the time, you forget how to drive.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, remember, we spoke yesterday because I was kind of reading in like the worst cities to drive in the country. You know, Detroit was up there. 2 years ago, Omaha, we were the worst city to drive in by
I remember that.
Insurance claims, you know, but we're back down. So we're getting better around here, guys. But
we're back down or somebody just eclipsed us?
Detroit is kind of heading off. You know, they're the champs.
Oh, so they took that personally and decided they would drive a little crappier than everybody else so they
maybe
could
they
win the title back.
It's kind of Stanford, Connecticut is actually the safest city to drive in by far. Oh. I mean,
all the roads down there are narrow. If you don't pay attention, you're running into somebody head on, I imagine.
Yeah, it'd be terrible to be like an auto body guy there. I mean, you'd never have work.
never do. We're going to head over to Doug. Doug's got a stick shift question, problem, or otherwise. What's up, Doug?
I just was listening to your comments about people not being able to drive stick shifts anymore. We were back east here a while back, stayed at a nice hotel, pull in. They have the guys to take your car and park it for you. So we take our bags in, get that stuff, look outside in a little while, car's still parked up. I go ask the guy there at the little stand, you know, that takes care of the vehicles, says, we need somebody to move it. I said, well, just move it. Well, all the people working there were kids, none of them could drive a stick. They had to pull some guy out of the back who looked a little bit beyond his years to be moving cars around. He had to go and move the car because young people just don't know how to drive.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that, you know, if you're back someplace with a lot of traffic and a lot of cars and a lot of crime, you're thinking, well, maybe my car's a little safer because they couldn't even steal if they wanted to.
No. And if they did, I mean, at least the clutch would be out of it. And at least it'd only be about a block or two away. But at least you'd know where it was. Yeah. I know sometimes in the hiring process when we hired people, that was one of the questions I ask anyway, can you drive a stick shift? And some say no, but the majority do say yeah. Cause in the automotive.
I have taught a lot of young kids how to drive there at the station. Just, all right, we're going to figure this out. If we're here, we're learning.
Yeah. Yeah. Ain't that funny? I mean, I learned with a three on the tree. That's how I learned. You know, my dad said, here's a car for you. You got to get it home. And it's like, well, how do I do that? Well, so, I killed it a bunch of times. But gosh, I made it home because it was a car. I was going to drive it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a few years ago, remember we had that auto auction down at the CenturyLink Center?
Mm-hmm.
That big company came through town. We had a two-day auto auction. So we had a customer that had four Model Ts, and I had to get them running for him so that they could go to this auction. It was an estate he was handling. And I got them running, and, you know, thank God there's, you know, manuals still for that stuff, because, I mean, I had trouble figuring out how to drive it.
Yeah.
There's a lot more going on.
Yeah, very primitive back then. Very primitive.
I get them all running. He trailers them down there. I get a call on a Saturday morning, you know, about this time from a frantic auctioneer. Nobody in this building can drive this car, and it has to go across the block. Okay. Can you come down here? So I had to go down there and drive it. So, I mean, they had the whole place opened up and this little street made. I mean, you've been in the convention center. And so I get this thing and they sell it. And they're like, okay, park it back down where it was. And I was like, that's clear on the other end. So I figured I would open this thing up and see what it had. People were walking faster.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd imagine back in that era. Yeah. Well, thanks, Doug. I appreciate the call.
Yeah, have a good day.
You too. Yeah, you know, it's...
The evolution of cars. I think that one was like a 1915 Ford, and oh, gosh.
Yeah, exactly.
Fun. It had all the brass on it, the little honky horn.
You know, yeah, and then you talk about electric cars. I think it was 1919 was one of the...
1908, Baker had one.
Look how far we've come from now.
Yeah, and it looked like a hall closet with wheels on it.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. All right, we're going to take a quick break on the Mr. Mechanic. 558-1110 is the numbers to get in. We'll be back in a minute.
Okay, this is an oldie. Well, it's an oldie where I came from. All right, fellas, this is a blues-driven bee. Watch me for the changes and try and keep up. Way down in a garage where the oil leaks. Way up under the hood where the engine squeaks. There stood an old car made of rust and wood. There lived a greasy boy named Mechanic Be Good, who never had to learn to read or write so well. But he can change your tire like a ring and a bell. Go, 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 Mr. Mechanic, go. Go, Mr. Mechanic, go. Go, Mr. Mechanic, go. Go, Mr. Mechanic, go. Go, Mr. Mechanic, go.
The Mr. Mechanic Show is brought to you by Buchanan Service Center. Call to schedule your appointment today at 402-393-2722.
We're going to head over to Stu. Stu's got a 2014 Buick Enclave. What's going on today?
Well, we are on a road trip. And I'm getting a engine light on, a traction control, and stability track service light. We stopped and put a scanner on it, and I've got a misfire in cylinder one.
Okay.
Just had the plugs and coils replaced. So I'm thinking it's not a... what else could it be?
Fuel injector,
yeah. Did you have them all replaced, all plugs, all coils?
Yes.
Okay. I guess the first thing that comes to my mind is one of the plastic connectors that hook onto the coils. That'd be one of the first thing that would kind of come to my mind, and then the injector would probably be the second thing. And that
those had problem. Those were the direct injection, like kind of the first era of those that would always leak out, wouldn't they?
They would leak down. Yeah, and then because those connectors are plastic, they sit underneath there and they just get hard, brittle, and when you touch them, they can break, or when you put them back on, they can break, but you don't notice that they're broke. You know, when we put them on, we always put them on and then tug on them a little bit to make sure they're fastened. But that'd be, and then the last thing would be maybe just a bad coil, possibly.
Yeah.
So, are you on a long road trip, or whereabouts are you at?
Yeah. Well, so we're actually heading down to see the eclipse, and driving to Memphis today.
Okay.
We're in Springfield right now, so we got a ways to go yet.
Sure.
I'm just wondering what's the wisest thing to do.
Well. On that car, I believe number one should be on the front bank of the engine. So when you open the hood, you're going to have a big cover. You got to take that off. Then you'll see three coils sitting kind of right in front of you. You can look at those. Are they plugged in? You know, did all the bolts get put in? Did one pop out?
Yeah, they're
anything like that.
They're a lot easier to see than they are the back ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, secondly, you know, you can pull that number one coil out. It'll be over on the passenger side. Does it have spark there? Did we get a faulty coil out of the box? Seen that 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Were you trying to solve a misfire to begin with, or were you just doing preventative maintenance?
Preventative maintenance.
Okay. All right. So
let's go back to what we've done.
Yeah, go back to what we've done, really. Take a step backwards, exactly. I was thinking sometimes that you can have problems with valves or seats or something that's not closing all the way, but if you weren't trying to solve a problem to begin with, then chances are all the mechanical parts are okay. There's a possibility that it's not, but more than likely we're going to assume that those are fine. Yeah.
You've gotten bad coils. You know, you get a spark plug that the parts store dropped. You know, I mean, things like that can happen. So let's start with what we did.
You say it's number one? So number one's on the front side?
Yeah, number one. Yeah.
Okay. So you got any tools with you?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. Well, is a light misfire or a little bit of a huge misfire?
Well, it varies. Sometimes it's a pretty heavy misfire. Sometimes it's fine.
We can rule out mechanical.
We can rule out mechanical is what Kyle's saying. So we know that it's not valve seats aren't gonna jump out and then jump back in. They're gonna be out and cause a problem. So. But what I was going to say, if you had tools with it, you could easily take number one and switch it with number three. And then when you check your code again, you know, at a parts store, see if it's switched over to number three. And that tells you probably got a bad coil. I'm thinking you probably got a bad coil.
Mm-hmm.
So you could always stop.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to drive it all that way with...
a misfire? No way.
A misfire? No.
You'd have catalytic converters being sacrificed. I mean, a lot of things can go wrong.
Yeah, it's going to add up quick as far as having to replace catalytic converters on that, because I've done that estimate, and it's pretty...
Not fun.
Yeah. So you might be able to stop at a parts store and buy a coil, you know, out of a chance, and you can borrow tools from most parts stores, too.
Mm-hmm.
10 millimeter.
It seemed like it ran fine after I'd shut it off. Is there a chance that it would have reset the computer, or would that not happen?
Not likely. I'm guessing you more or less had a cool down issue, because most things will break down hot.
I'd say the spark is leaking through the boot, through the silicone boot, and snapping over to ground, and that's why it's a misfire sometimes and sometimes not.
Yeah.
Or a bad plug.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Plugs are pretty sturdy, but they're kind of also kind of fragile too when you're going in and out with them.
Yeah.
But if we know which one it is, that's half the battle.
Yeah. The hard part's out.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I may stop and have somebody take a peek at it for a second.
Yeah,
find somebody.
Yeah, I think the time is well spent versus because the cost on the other side driving it all the way there and back is going to be a lot.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I hope that helps.
Well, appreciate your help.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's there's certain cars that you don't want to mess with. One that comes to mind was the older Ford Escapes. When it had a misfire,
you got that done right away. Otherwise, you'd blow a hole in that intake when that cat had plugged up.
Yep, cat plug up. The whole next thing you know, it went from a $200 or $300 deal to a couple $1,000 deal with all the cats being plugged up and gone.
That sent a lot of cars to the junkyard because nobody wanted. I mean,
yeah, because
that thing was 8 years old.
It was about 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010. Mm-hmm. All those, and you see a few of them out there still, but not many. Most of them kind of rusted away. But there's a lot of the cars that would misfire for weeks, months.
Oh yeah,
and would never plug up the catalytic converter.
No,
and it's kind of interesting that there's no rhyme or reason to which one does that. Because I've seen a lot of them. How long has this been misfiring? A long time. Well, what's that mean? I don't know. 6 months.
As long as I've had it, 10 years.
Yeah, as long as I've had it.
I just figured that's how it ran.
Yeah, that's how I bought it. Well, that's why they sold it.
Heard that more than a few times.
Yeah. Here's an interesting article I ran across, Kyle. Tell me what you think. Mercedes-Benz has entered into an agreement with Aptronic. It's a deployed human robot in its factories. It's called Apollo. It's probably stands 5 feet tall, weighs 160 pounds, can lift up to 55 pounds. It's supposed to do kind of monotonous things that they wouldn't want the regular worker to do. You know, go get a rotor, go get that, go get this, go get that, and just kind of walking around. And Mercedes-Benz says it's not here to take any jobs at the plant at all. This won't affect any of the other people that are working there full time.
I need one of these.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of that? How long do you think before there's nobody in that plant?
Oh, give it a year or so. We'll be talking about it. Save that article. Write down my guess on it. We'll do an over-under. But I need one of those for around the house because, I mean, how many jobs do we have that, you know, this robot could do? I mean, I don't want to pick up dog poop in the backyard. I don't want to rake leaves. This robot doesn't know either way. Yeah. It's just whatever I tell it to do. It's out there doing it.
I think there was a movie like that. I think it was called iRobot. And then what happens, Kyle? Well, anyway, they're coming for somebody's job. I can't think. They're very innocently saying they're just going to do the mundane job. So what's that make your job? Mundane?
Yeah. They're just working on the programming to get it to do the smart people stuff.
Yeah. They're just going to watch. Well, I'm sure it's learning. It's watching what they're doing all day long. And said, I'm sure they have a robot meeting and say, I can do what he does.
And soon Pinky will take over the world.
I can do it at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Really?
You got a long enough extension cord, I'll run the whole thing.
All right, 558-1110 is the numbers to get in. We're going to take a quick break here on the Mr. Mechanic Show. We'll be back in a bit.
The Mr. Mechanic Show on 1110 KFAB is brought to you by Buchanan Service Center. Visit us online at buchananservice.com.
Jim's got a 2010 Toyota Camry. Jim, what's going on today?
Yeah, hi. I've got a check engine light I've been dealing with. I've actually had that thing on for the whole time I've had the car, about 14,000 miles. Mm-hmm. Car runs flawlessly. I finally decided to check it, and it comes up with a 0017 code on my scanner, which is a VVT solenoid.
Mm-hmm.
So I've tried to replace that, not once, not twice. Not three times, four times I've put one in. The last one was a factory Toyota part. Still no fix on it. It's also called an oil control valve. There's a filter in that thing, too, that I've checked, and it is like new, not clogged at all. So I'm out of ideas. I'm wondering if you guys have any clues for me.
It's a V6, isn't it?
No, it's a 4.
Is it? Okay. Well, let's see.
Is it coating on the intake or on the intake or exhaust side?
It is on the intake side.
Okay.
The actual sensor, you mean, the solenoid?
Right. Yeah, because there's two of them. Yeah. There's one for intake and exhaust.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that could be an issue then.
Yeah, there should be one for each of those.
So the reason I ask if it was a V6, because they were very popular, common to go bad in the V6s all the time.
I see.
Not so much common in the 4-cylinders, however they did, but the V6s were way more common.
We normally don't see this a lot in Toyota.
No, you don't. Not in the 4-cylinders.
GM was great for them.
Still are.
Yeah, but so, I mean, your other...
The car's been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, your other variables are the circuit. Mm-hmm. Is it being controlled by the computer to open when it should? And you've got a phaser on the front of your camshaft, and that's what that solenoid is controlling, is that phaser. You know, is the phaser worn out? You know, has the car been maintained well prior to you getting it? You know, did somebody go 10,000 miles between oil changes?
So the phaser is constantly moving back and forth a little bit with the control from control of oil through that particular solenoid. And over a period of time, they can, what Kyle's saying is they can sludge up or they can just get tired of going back and forth so many times.
Whereas in the case of the Range Rover I worked on this week, they just explode.
Yeah, yeah, explode.
Yeah, this oil is spotless in it. I mean, sure. There's it's always been real clean.
But anything that's mechanical, even though it's clean, moving back and forth is just going to kind of wear out. And it's got
fail.
Yeah, it's got the phaser moves within itself. So there's two metal pieces that are moving very close tolerances. And over a period of time, those tolerances will get bigger. And that what used to house that oil is now leaking out.
Yeah, your oil's bypassing it.
Right. And therefore, it's just not doing what it's doing for the most part. And are you sure you were getting, now that we know that there's two, is it possible that we're
on the right one?
Yeah, we're on the right one, and it's not the other one?
Yeah, maybe. I guess that's my first job to check mm-hmm. for that second solenoid, and if it's the same part, I'll just try replacing that one, too.
Yeah, sure. And they could be hidden just a little bit, too. One can go on the top and another one on the side. They can be both on the sides.
Front, back, yeah. We found them everywhere.
Yeah, and obviously they're going to be close to the timing chain area.
Mm-hmm.
So you know it's going to be in front. But, yeah, they can just blend in with everything. Because they are metal and aluminum, they can kind of blend in with other stuff. But,
all right.
You know, in the grand, you bet. In the grand scheme of things.
Clues.
What's that?
Thank you for those clues as to what it could be. I appreciate it.
Well, in the grand scheme of things, we know it runs fine. So
odds are you're probably not going to be tearing into this engine too deep.
Yeah. Yeah. Worst case scenario.
That was one of my fears.
Get yourself a smiley sticker face and put it over top of those three. And it's already went for how many years?
Yeah. Put some tape over there.
Yeah. That may be... Maybe what happened.
So who complained about the lights that made you want to fix it now? Is that just you finally got around to it, or somebody said you need to do that?
I'm looking to sell it, actually.
Oh, got it.
And
got it.
People are scared when they see that check engine.
Yeah, yeah. And, and they don't know. And they don't know if that's a benign thing and it's just a don't worry about it. Hey, they don't know if you're telling them the truth or not. Or is it a big deal and it's $4,000? Yeah, I agree.
And I totally get it. So,
yeah.
Thank you, guys.
You bet.
I really appreciate it.
Appreciate the call. Yeah, there's a lot of people out there trying to sell cars, and they say, well, is the check engine light on? Well, no, not on at all. And this is something we talked about before,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people maybe don't know this, but we'll share it, is that when we go into a scanner, we can tell that they've got some things now that are built into newer cars that we can tell the last time the code's been cleared.
Yeah, they set permanent codes. It's mode 10.
Yeah. Maybe so when you say, no, check engine light hasn't been on, anything else like that, and it's been fine, we've driven it for years or months or whatever it is, when somebody's flipping a car and you can hook our scanner up to it and go, okay, well, that was done 3 days ago. I know nothing about that. Well, somebody does. What did you fix or what did you clear? And mm-hmm. I don't know anything about that. So,
and that's something that came about, you know, pre-COVID, but it was kind of put in place by California and other emission states because they were having so many people go in for smog testing and they clear their light, pull into the shop, and then the mechanics none the wiser. It's okay, there's no codes.
Yeah, they never required you on smog tests to do any of that. It just does it pass?
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that's on here now is the check engine light on. Well, the check engine light's on, you automatically fail.
Yeah.
Boom. There's no going forward after that.
I'm not exactly sure what you have to do in those states, but when you get your repair done for that light, I mean, you have to have all your documentation of where it was done and who did it. And
the problem was solved and, all that. And then, interestingly enough, when I did smog tests in California, you couldn't tell anybody anything. They had to come in and you had to smog test it on its own merits straight as they pulled in the door, and then you already knew it failed, but you had to go through the process of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it came back up the other side, you would fix what it was, and we'd go back through and smog test it again. And there was a tremendous amount of people that wanted to pay me a little bit of here, a little bit of there to make it work and manipulate it to get it passed just so I can go get my car licensed. It's like, I'm not going to jail. So.
Yeah. Well, that was back in carburetor days.
Yeah.
There's a lot more that goes into getting a carburetor to run clean.
Yeah.
They like to run rich.
Yeah. Yeah. And basically what you did when you brought it back in is you had to detune this thing so terribly.
Yeah, it wouldn't hardly drive.
It was a little bit of a game, so you had to fail it. You couldn't fix it right then and redo it. You had to come back a different day. You'd come back, you'd detune it all so it'd pass, and then they would come back weeks later and said, "Can you tune this back up for me?" And you'd put it back to the where it was because there was no law that you couldn't do that. I'm sure the law's changed now, but
oh, I'm sure.
So, could you make this thing run right? Because the other day you made it run terrible just so it could pass. Well, running terrible, believe it or not, you wouldn't think that. But making it run terrible and slow on timing and leaning everything out would actually makes it pass the smog test.
Yeah, not good for the highway.
To make it run right, or at least, you know, doable so you can drive it down the road, you got to put it back to a different.
Sure.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting or weird. But yeah, fuel injection took a lot of that out, and it's nice because now it's way more precise than it ever used to be.
Now we're doing away with things that started with early fuel injection and adding new things like these VVTs and phasers.
Yeah, everybody's gone to VVTs and phasers in order to get the power out of it. You know, more and more people are going to
turbos. You know what else we don't have because of VVTs and phasers? EGR.
Yeah, a lot of the EGR valves have gone away, the exhaust gas recirculation valve, in order to cool.
They're using VVT.
Yeah.
And I've proven it on a scope.
Yeah.
On D-cell, the exhaust valves will stay open, forget how many milliseconds longer, and it's pulling unburned gas.
You know, it's interesting. The EGR valves have come and gone over the years. They've been.
And for some reason, the Ford Focus had an EGR valve and VVT.
Yeah.
And neither one of them worked good.
Yeah. that's all it does. I mean, it just clogs up, and all that soot that's supposed to go down the exhaust is now clogging up the intake and the exhaust valve. And
you remember the first time you spent hours looking for a vacuum leak, and then you hit that thing with a hammer?
Yeah. And all of a sudden, everything worked fine, and it just runs smooth as a bell, and it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
We'll remember that one. Every mechanic's got that story, at least the older guys.
Yeah, at least. All right, 558-1110 is the numbers to get in. We're going to take a quick break on the Mr. Mechanic Show. We'll be back in a minute.
Cars, trucks, and SUVs are just happier at Buchanan Service Center. Routine maintenance, tire replacement, AC work, and so much more. At Buchanan Service Center, it's our job to fix it right and fix it on time. Buchanan's Service Center, 79th and Dodge and 50th and Dodge in Omaha.
You know, auto sales have been down a little bit in the first quarter. Tesla's down quite a bit. And now they're chopping prices a little bit for you go out and buy a new Tesla. So if you want a new Tesla, I think the prices are getting cheaper there. They did kind of scrap. They're going to have a nice small Tesla, like a
smart car.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that small. I think it was like a Chevy Bolt, which is kind of dinky to begin
it's
with.
Pretty small.
Yeah, they were going to come out. I think they kind of scrapped that too. So, So a lot of electric cars companies are either struggling to stay afloat or going bankrupt or trying to meet, because they got a lot of investors, got a lot of money in doing all this stuff, and they want to see results. And I think there's some of them just aren't going to make it. But there is an uptick, and the percentage has kind of flipped around for the gas hybrids.
Oh, yeah.
So. And a lot
they've
of
been
people,
a thing for a lot of years.
Oh, yeah. You know, Toyota has kind of perfected it. And it's kind of interesting now that some of the reading that I do that all the manufacturers didn't want to get left behind. So they all, one jumped into the battery, you know, pool. Everybody jumped into the battery pool. Now, those same people are kind of jumping a little bit out of the battery pool and they're heading straight into the gas hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
So they're, and the only one that really maintained a steady course and just kept going with it, but didn't kind of falter with it or didn't, you know, jump to the pressure was Toyota.
Yeah.
Toyota has been going this way for a long time.
The Prius was what, 03, 05?
Yeah.
Like that?
They've been doing it for 25. They did 20 and plus years and
very little problems.
So they're kind of seeing maybe they gambled way back then, but they've been kind of staying the course. So just kind of interesting things to watch. It's kind of funny, but. And interesting and see which way we're going to go. You just don't know. That was my way to go was a gas hybrid. At least you could
Yeah.
Take the family to Chicago. He didn't have to worry about it, you know?
The Mr. Mechanic Show is powered by Buchanan Service Center, 79th and Dodge and 50th and Dodge in Omaha. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.